good evening. All right, that's good singing tonight. Good singing the special. I love the orchestra that you have here. It's a wonderful thing. And the congregational singing, I love. I like congregational singing because I can't sing. So I just yell and scream real loud, and everybody just kind of acts like they enjoy it. But when you get up and do it by yourself, it's not real fun. So thank you for having me come in tonight. I'm excited about being here. It's hard to believe it was about 9 months ago. I was here with my son and some college students, and we were treated royally. And so sometimes when you have that treatment, you never forget. So I was looking forward to coming back, and I'm glad to have my wife with me this time. We're just checking on Rachel, just so you know. See if you guys have got her into ship shape. It's taken us a long time, so we just said forget it. It's hopeless, but hopefully you've done a little better. But it's good to see her. The thrill for me being at Fairhaven Baptist Church for now almost 43 years is being able to see kids, young people that grow up there, and then they go out and start serving the Lord. And that just is really, really special for us. And so I've kind of made a trip around this week. We landed in Austin Saturday night last week, and I've been to Fort Worth and Austin and Beeville and Corpus and here tonight. And we fly out Tuesday morning, and then I've got to be in Milwaukee, and then Bourbonnais, Illinois, and then next Saturday I've got to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. So just pray as I'm trying to just hit everything I can, squeeze it all in, because if I die, I don't want to have somebody have to pick up the pieces along the way. I want to get it all in. But man, it's good to see you tonight on a Sunday night. Praise the Lord. And anywhere down here is better than up north. It was minus 20 2 weeks ago, so I'm just trying to avoid all of Northwest Indiana right now. So you that are coming up to visit us, who's that going to be? Some of the young people that are coming up? Only, all right, a few of you. Just start praying now, all right, that it's at like 10. I called my son this morning. He said, Dad, it's snowing here, so you might get to see some snow. And not that you'll enjoy it that much, but probably not that common here. But praise the Lord. I'm glad to be in God's house. And hopefully, as we look at the scriptures, we can be a blessing. Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians chapter number 4 will be our text tonight. The subject tonight is one that I feel is super important for churches, but obviously churches are made up of homes. And I think this is a super important topic for homes as well. But there's a balance here. And hopefully as I present this, you'll understand the balance. That's why we need the Lord to help us. Because sometimes I say things and it may not be exactly right. But as the Lord speaks to you, and hopefully He does, you can hash it out for yourself and for your family. Because this is a very important topic. How many have been in church a good part of your life? Could I see your hands just so I have an idea? All right, so I would say that's the majority of you. Praise the Lord for that. Hopefully you never get tired of what Jesus has done for you. Just singing those songs. I just love hymns. You know, nowadays things are changing to where you got to rock around the sanctuary just to get people to come in. But praise the Lord, you don't have to do that. So be thankful for that. I get to go to a lot of places and people are frustrated because they're trying to hold standards at where they're supposed to be. And people aren't interested in that. Be thankful for what you have here. On a Sunday night, you got a pretty good crowd, and just be thankful for what God's blessed you with. And you probably get tired sometimes of just being old-fashioned, if I can say it that way, but I'm just going to encourage you, keep at it. Keep at it. We've run buses for about 46 years at our church, and I'm glad we still do. Because about 44 years ago, somebody invited my sister to ride a Sunday school bus, and it wasn't long after that she trusted Christ as her Savior. My mom trusted Christ as her Savior pretty quickly after that, and she's still teaching first grade Sunday school 41 years later. My dad worked in Gary, Indiana for a lot of years at the steel mill, and he was not really on board. He let us go to church, put us in a Christian school, but took a while, but he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and this morning he was driving a Sunday school bus. So we run 23 buses. You can just imagine the activity on a Sunday morning that involves picking up people for Sunday school. The Lord's allowed me. I love working with young people. I was telling Pastor, I enjoy working with teenagers. And about a year ago, the Lord kind of put on my heart trying to get into public schools. And so the Lord's allowed me into one public school. I'm trying to get into two more by the end of this year just to start. We got to reach people. We got to reach people. And go on their turf is not the easiest thing to do, but we got to at least make the effort. And so pray for me. I'm just trying to see what we can do. I'm not on staff there. I'm not a coach or anything like that. But I'm trying to reach into that realm. We do a Saturday discipleship program. When I'm home, I'm part of that. I work in the college. My wife is the dean of women. So we live in the ladies' dormitory. So ladies, if you're interested in Bible class, come see her because she's the enforcer. She makes it all happen. But no, if you have some questions, see her about dorm life. And I'm not here to put any pressure on anybody. And I told Pat, I feel like if someone's going to go to Bible college, this is what they need to do. They need to get with their parents. They need to get with their pastor and find the place that fits them. To me, if they're going to do something other than what their pastor, youth pastor, and the leaders do, we've already started off on the wrong foot. So I feel like it's important. You just find your parents, get a good relationship with your parents. Because, you know, I'm not going to be your grandparent someday. They are. And I think it's good to just have a good relationship from the very beginning. Get with your pastor. Find the place that fits you. Because not everybody's fit for one particular place. God has a particular place for you. So just find that out. I think it'd be a blessing to you. And so, but we're obviously representing Fairhaven Baptist College. That's where I've been all my life. My wife came for that one-year program. So watch out for those one-year programs. She's been there for 20 now. She's stuck with me in Northwest Indiana. She loves coming down, visiting family, and just to thaw out after a couple of days being down here. But pray for us. Travel and evangelism as well, plus a little recruiting for the college. I coach wrestling in our Christian school, and just kind of whatever our pastor needs, sign me up. That's kind of the way we're supposed to be, especially when we're in full-time service. Whatever pastor needs, I'll be worn out, but we'll try it. At least try to fit into our schedule as much as possible. But let's look at God's Word tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get there in just a little bit. I want to talk tonight about an area that, I'll be honest with you, because I coach, I like to yell and scream a lot. So this realm sometimes gets lost. I'm going to talk about tonight what I call biblical kindness. You're like, okay, that's a letdown. You know what our world needs to see today? Is biblical kindness. Probably one of the biggest things that I deal with in my home with my 16-year-old son, my 13-year-old son, my 10-year-old daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, is this idea of contention. And I throw around the verse a lot, Proverbs 13, which says, only by pride cometh contention. And I'm beating on this thing, so just bear with me. But the point is, it's almost common in our homes for there to be contention. And I don't believe that's a Bible home. So as we look at this idea, because sometimes people will say, well, you know, how far do we go with this idea of kindness? Well, I think we need to have a biblical perspective. I'm going to try with the Lord's help to have a biblical perspective, because we love to hear messages about the love of God. I like the song, The Love of God. It's a great song, and we like to preach about it, but sometimes people will come and say, well, how could a loving God send somebody to the lake of fire? And so there's a balance there. How could a loving God tell Saul to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites? And I get questions like that, like from a teacher in a public school recently. How could God let somebody kill somebody else? And so there's a balance here, and I think as we look at this idea of kindness, I'd like to look at it from a biblical perspective. I was reminded of this text a year or so ago, specifically when we took our boys to a high school wrestling match, and one of our young men wrestled another guy, and we were going to go back the following year. But in the summer, one of the parents in our school sent me an article about a kid from the high school we were at. He had just graduated from high school and he committed suicide. Now, Pastor, I really struggle when there's a 17 or 18-year-old young man in the prime of his life, and I hear stories that they take their own life. And my mind starts to wander a little bit. Why would somebody, how old are you? Why would a 17-year-old young man who's looking ahead for his future, why would he at some point just end his life? There's got to be something going on in his home or in his personal life, and there may be some sin involved. I don't know what the case is, but that befuddles me, that confuses me, that perplexes me. And I think as we conclude tonight with an illustration that I got, you might be able to see some things that can help us in this particular realm. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Would you read those with me tonight as our text, chapter 4, verses 31 and 32? Together, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. This is Paul's letter. We call this one of the prison epistles. He wrote four letters directly from prison, and he writes this letter to the church at Ephesus. And he has this idea of, as you look at chapter 1, you'll find the message of redemption. Chapter 2, you'll find the grace of God. It talks about that in chapter 2. We like to talk about the armor of God in chapter 6, and we talk about these different things. But here we come very specifically to this idea, let's put away some things that are in our hearts. And he continues the sentence to say, and be ye kind. Now, in our society today, violence permeates our society, does it not? I was just completely upset when I watched the New York Supreme Court recently pass this abortion tragedy. And I watched people standing up cheering and hollering and screaming with their whole intent of taking someone's life, a baby. And I watch my wife hold little babies, and they're so precious. I'm afraid because I feel like I'm going to drop them, and I don't do too well with that. But I watch my daughters at 10 and 7 just hold those precious little lives. How could somebody just take the life of an unborn child? Where is it going to stop? Is it going to be a year from now? Okay, I didn't realize this was going to be such a headache, and I think that's where it's going, folks. And you look and you see violence, parents killing kids and kids killing parents and just shooting people and school shootings. I'll tell you why. Because the Bible makes it very clear that the devil is a murderer. And so violence just permeates our society. And I like to go to sporting events, less and less now, but when you go to a sporting event, a few years ago I went to a hockey game and I went to watch hockey. But you know what brought the crowd to their feet? Not the hockey game. When the gloves were dropped and these grown men started kind of circling each other and beating the snot out of each other. It's gone into baseball. A guy throws a ball a little bit too close to the batter. What happens? The bench is clear. People are duking it out. And that brings the crowd to their feet. You know why? Because we live in a violent society. What would happen in the scriptures when these men would be filled with demons? What would they do? They would cut themselves. You know that's pretty common practice today? And I know we don't really like to talk about demon possession, but can I say this? There's a lot of demon possession in America today. And it filters down from this idea of the devil being their father. They're just marching to the beat of his drum. Young people in the Bible days, parents would come to Jesus and say, my son is a lunatic. You know, they say, he sees a fire and oft times he hath cast himself into the fire. Last time I stood at a campfire, Pastor Stephen, I didn't tell you, I wonder what it was going to be like to jump in that. But you know why there's suicide? It's because people are filled with the devil. Now, can I flip it around? And I hope this doesn't sound wrong. But Christians tonight, if we were filled with the Spirit, there'd be a whole heap of kindness in our lives. You'd see the flip side. When you're filled with the devil, there's fighting and contentions and anger and all sorts of arguments going on because that's what the devil produces. But when you're filled with the Spirit, there's these things called love and joy. And what's the next one? Help me out. Peace, long-suffering. What's the next one? Ooh, that doesn't sound manly. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And so when you're filled with the Spirit of God, I believe we can say that there's going to be biblical kindness found in our lives. Now I'm saying this because we know we're supposed to be kind to people. When we came in, I didn't have anybody kick me in the shins. You might have thought about it, like, oh, you again? But I had people come in, good to see you tonight. How can I take care of the water? Hey, do you need to talk to the pastor? We went down, we prayed together. And you know, when we enter churches, we are kind of just saturated with kindness. It's a blessing to us. My kids remember the really kind churches. That church gave us a fruit basket. that church. So when they want to go back, it's not because they just love the people. It's like the kindness. But there's something in all of us that likes kindness. Now, to hear two people trust Jesus Christ as Savior, doesn't that get you pretty excited? But I think that ought to be a common practice in churches today. We should see God reaching people. And you might say, Brother Ramos, I've been soul winning a lot of years, and sometimes we get tired of door knocking, don't we? Okay, you don't, but I do. Because I go there. Hi, I'm Eric, and this is Gideon, my son. We're from Fairhaven Baptist Church. We're here to tell you about the free gift of salvation. And people look at us like, okay, are you done yet? We've had doors slammed in our faces. I've been spit on before. I've been cussed at before. I really don't enjoy that. But I still believe we need to keep on going. And just keep on going. And keep on passing out tracts. You know why? Because the world needs to see a God that is kind and loving and tender-hearted towards them. Now, I got to get going because he said I need to be done at 7:27. I'm just joking. Well, let's get to it. I want to look at our text here. We're going to look at verse 32 as our text. I have 5 points. They are not long, I promise you. All right? I will keep it within our time limits. Number one, I see the demand in this idea of kindness. It's pretty simple. What are the first two words? Young lady in the Houston sweatshirt. What are the first two words in our text? Verse 32, real quick. And be, next two words? Be ye kind. All right? So there's a demand here. We'll just shorten it for us, for that us that have a hard time remembering four words. Two words. Be kind. Now, sometimes when we throw out these words, you say, well, we all have different definitions in our mind of what kindness is. And so I thought, you know, just to make sure we're clear, I looked it up in the dictionary. So here's what the word kindness means. The word kind means disposed to do good to others and to make them happy by granting their requests. Now, that sounds pretty simple. So my job simply is this, if I'm going to be kind, is to find out what he wants and to make him happy by granting his request. Now, he's sitting there thinking, oh, if only my parents. This is where the balance comes in. Because my kids want me to do all sorts of things that will make them happy. But I understand down the road things that I see if they do that, for instance, one of my sons wants a phone really, really bad. And he has in his mind that having a phone would make him happy. But I have chosen to be the bad dad and not the kind, not the kind dad. And I said, you know what? I really don't think it's wise for you as a 16-year-old to have a phone right now. That's my opinion. I don't really, it doesn't matter what you think. That's my opinion. And so I've just said, no. So am I going against the scriptures here? I don't think so. But I have a little bit of wisdom because I don't want certain things accessible to him. I don't know if he's quite ready for that. Are you with me? And so understand, but in the setting as far as Christians are concerned, it should be our desire and our purpose, yet even here our command to find out what Pastor Stephen wants and try to make him happy. What's wrong with that? It's a demand. Be ye kind. Here's another definition. Goodwill. Now, ladies are thinking, I go there all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. When our Lord entered this earth, the angels came and said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And they said, peace. You know why? Because that's the epitome of kindness, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So our responsibility as Christians, the demand here I see is kindness. Now, we have a fundraiser every year. And it gets pretty lengthy. It gets long. We sell about $350,000 worth of candy in 12 days, our Christian school. And these kids go, our kids go door to door, business to business, restaurants, bowling alleys, gas stations, you name it. They just go place after place after place after place. And they'll go in and sell their candy, and they'll be all excited about it. And this person will buy a box of candy, and this person will buy a box of candy. And they start to sell so much candy, really, they kind of get in the mode of just, okay, thank you, have a nice day. Remember these days, Rachel? And you didn't like them either, did you? Yeah, we'll stop right there. But there are people that when they show up will write a check for $150, $200 and just hand it to our kids. And they look forward to these people. Now, I will tell them, Pastor, I'll say, clean your room. 10 minutes later, they forgot that command. But we do this fundraiser twice a year. They will go back to that same area. They will see all these businesses, but they can remember that one store. You know why? Because somebody there went beyond the norm and was kind. Now, this is a demand, folks. And I encourage you not just to treat the guest preacher that way, because you kind of, I guess, are expected to. I want to encourage Westside Baptist Church, the people here, to start to have goodwill to one another. That's our next point. So number one is the demand. Number two is the direction. It says, be ye kind. What's the next three words? Right here, I'm going to pick on you. Be ye kind with the next three words. One to another. That means you should look around and say, I want to be kind to her, and I want to be kind to him, and I want to be kind to him, I'm going to be kind to him. And what that does is you look around, you're going to be worn out. Because there's a whole bunch of people just in here tonight and on Sunday morning and on the midweek service that you can be kind to. It's the direction, the focus that we're to have. Now, Paul's writing from prison. Now, if I were in prison for what he was in prison for, I would not be thinking kindness. But I believe Paul was filled with the Spirit of God so he could look at the soldiers that were chained to him and still be kind. Our direction and our kindness is one to another. See, we're almost halfway done. Number three, quickly, be kind. Let me go back real quick. Our God, it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, let me just say this. It says, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the, get this, unto the unthankful and to the evil. You know, I've come to understand, it is natural for us to love them that love us. But listen to this. It is supernatural for us to love them that don't love us in return. And that's why we must have God. You see, people come in and they're a blessing to us or they're a blessing to you. And it's easy to invite those people to your house. It's easy to return the Christmas gift back to them. But what about the bus kid that comes in here and he might plug the toilet that you just cleaned that the week before? He plugs it up and causes an issue, or maybe scrapes the paint off the walls or whatever the case may be. And you sit back there and it's natural for us to say, but you know what that young person needs? Kindness. 2 weeks ago, I took our 13 of our bus teenagers to Iowa. We drove 6 hours one way, 4-hour youth rally, drove 6 hours. It was a long day, all in one day. And there was a young man just started coming to church. He just joined our teen program. His name was Tony. Tony's got a man bun. And Tony's kind of not really that well behaved in church. And so I kind of, when he approached me and saying, Mr. Ramos, could I go to Iowa? My thought was no. But the Spirit of God said yes. So I took Tony. We got to Iowa. I remember got in front of the kids. This is two Saturdays ago. I got in front of the kids and said, now listen, there's going to be a couple preaching times. If God deals with your heart during the preaching time, you catch me, guys. And I had a couple young ladies there helping out. And I said, girls, you catch young ladies, we'll go forward and pray with you. Just that's what we're here for. So the first sermon, there was no invitation, so no one came and got me. Second service, Tony's sitting on the other end of the pew. I'm sitting down here and kind of close my eyes and doing the church peek, just kind of peeking. Tony didn't wait to just say, excuse me, to all the other kids. He jumped on the pew, ran all the way down the pew, grabbed me by the arm. He says, I need to get down there. Tony didn't ask me to pray for anything that was even preached. But you know what he said? He says, Mr. Ramos, my home is a mess. My dad and mom, all they do is scream at each other. And he shared his heart. You know what he needs? Kindness. Kindness. And so our responsibility is to find one another and look for opportunities to be kind. You probably have some young people in the youth group that have some pretty rough situations, right? You know what they need? Maybe a mom figure, dad figure, grandma, grandpa figure that would come and just put their arm around them and say, you know what? I just want to be kind to you. Maybe get them a gift card. You know what? They'll never forget about Westside Baptist Church, a whole group of people that are busy with work and that have music to deal with and have competitions and Christian school. They don't know that, but they're going to say, somebody at that church was kind. Are you with me tonight? I'm enjoying it, and I've got to wrap it up here pretty quick. So number two is the direction, one to another. Number three, I call this the depth. The depth of our kindness. What's the next word? Be kind, one to another. What's the next word? Tenderhearted. That almost sounds feminine. And I am anti-feminine. Guys, God made you a young man. Walk like it. Dress like it. Are you with me? Nowadays, it's like, I know the government has said roles have changed, but I still believe guys should walk like guys and act like guys and be men. Girls, young ladies, I still believe you should walk like young ladies, act like young ladies, smile like young ladies, and just be feminine. I got somebody with me. I like that. There you go. But when I read a word like that, it almost makes me feel a little soft. But it's a Bible word. And if we're supposed to practice kindness, the Bible tells us this idea of tenderhearted. Now, boys, young men, where's Ethan? I met Ethan before the service. It's kind of natural for young men to be rude. So let's just say I came up to preach tonight and I hit this step and hit the deck. Most guys would say, I probably would do the same thing. Because there's something in all of us that has this idea when somebody falls, especially guys, it's funny. But you know what the word tenderhearted means? Again, I had to look it up just to make sure it's right. But it gives the idea of having great sensibility, susceptible of impressions and influence. And I think as I looked at it and studied it, it gives the idea that when there's a need, your senses quickly tell you to do something about it. When you touch something that's hot, what happens? I just woke him up. When you touch something that's hot, what generally happens? Pretty quick. I don't think you're like, oh, that feels special. This is wonderful. No, your senses tell you, ouch. And I think as I kind of looked at the word and studied the idea is when somebody has a need, when there's a lady that falls, it's not like, ha ha, it's run quickly. The senses say, because it comes from my heart, I've got to do something about it. When there's a lady carrying a box, it just should naturally be, I've got to take care of that need. When there's a need, I see pastor vacuuming the floor. That's a no-no. I need to be doing that because my nature, something in me says, he's got many other things to do. I should do that. And young people, when you start to have that heart of kindness, it changes how you look at churches. I'm tired of young people growing up in church, and as soon as they get a chance, they're out the door. Something's wrong. Because the focus is on you, not on one another. And so what has to happen is you tough guys that have muscles and pipes and all these things, you got to soften it and say, you know what, I want to have biblical kindness, and it comes from the heart. Tender-hearted. And I tell you what, something I have to fight because, you know what, I'm a wrestling coach. We draw blood. And if you didn't draw blood on your opponent, something's wrong with you. And sometimes, I take that home. And sometimes, I say things to my children, and the Holy Spirit of God says, that was wrong. That was unkind. We're from the north. Right? From you there, from the East Coast? Yeah, I mean, I think this is like the epitome of kindness right here. I mean, being from the New England area, I mean, we don't talk to nobody. We hate everybody. I'm from Chicagoland. You're with me, right? We got this. That's why I hit it off with him when I came last time. So this is a struggle for me. But when I'm filled with God, you know what it does? It affects my heart. Tender hearted. Number four, quickly. The duty in our kindness. Right after tender hearted, what's the next phrase? Forgiving one another. Now, don't you love it when you go to somebody and ask their forgiveness and they forgive you? The fellowship is restored. Aren't you glad that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from help me out? Aren't you thankful that when you go to God, He forgives? But why is it? Why is it when people come to me and say, Brother Amos, I did you wrong. Will you forgive me? I do something like this. Did you really mean it? No. Say that again. Because I don't know if your voice inflection was quite right. And I make him go through the treatment of 3 times and 4 times, and every time I see him, it's still there. But that's our duty, folks. Is when somebody has aught against us, we have aught against them, just get it right. That's part of kindness. A couple months ago, I had to go to my wife and ask her for forgiveness. You know what? She didn't say, prove it. Roses? Spa treatment? A couple days in Texas? That's why we're here. No, I'm just joking. I'm just glad. She said, I forgive you. And we move on. You know, our duty tonight in this idea of kindness is to forgive one another. I would venture to say that there have been people in the church over the years that have made you mad. Can I go a step further? You probably have gotten mad at him. Hope you didn't see that. More than once. Now think about it. Have you ever had a perfect week in your life? I never have. I don't have a perfect day. But yet for some reason, we expect him to never mess up with the teenagers. And I'm on his team because I work with youth and I know all the problems that it comes with. But he's going to mess up. And if he comes and says, I blew it, would you forgive me? It should be, absolutely. The model prayer is forgive us, God, as we... So I think it's directly proportional. Maybe you don't feel the forgiveness of God because maybe you're not forgiving others. That's a thought. So our duty is, if Ethan comes to me because I picked on him, he comes and says, would you forgive me? Or I say, I forgive him. We should just do it and it should be quick. It goes along with our last one. I called number 5 the director of our kindness. It says, forgiving one another, what's the last phrase? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, Pastor got up here and was leading songs, and you guys were doing great singing. And he says, we're going to sing this song and that song, song after song. And I saw my man here, he's like, you know, he's getting hot and all sweaty, maybe because he had to sing a special here in a little bit. I don't know, but he's like, he's going to die here. Now, a couple of times I heard him say, watch me. And sometimes you'd hold, and sometimes you'd go quicker. Other times it was softer. Now, what if he said, we're going to sing at the cross? And you're sitting out there. He's sitting out there like, I don't even like that song. And so he starts leading at the cross, and he starts singing, I'd rather sing the old rugged cross. And she starts playing her instrument, a different song, and he starts playing a different song, and he didn't feel like playing because he's too hot and sweaty, and he starts doing his, and there's 5 or 6 different people doing their thing. What happens to the service? Chaos. So you expect when he leads a song, whether you like it or not, it's too high, it's too low, it's too slow, You get up and you lead. You follow the director, yes? And it all works in unison when everybody is following the director. And listen, in this idea of kindness, God says forgive, and you do it on the downbeat, if I'm saying that right, or on the upbeat, or on the rest. You just do it when the director says, just like God does for us. And when that happens, you know what happens in the church? A loving, gentle, kind church. And did you know that's the way it ought to be? It's at 7:45. Let me read this and I'll be done. One day, when this is a man writing a story, he says, when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books on a Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend plan, so I shrugged my shoulders and went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running towards him. They ran at him, knocking all of his books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him, so I jogged over to him, and as he crawled around looking for his glasses, I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, those guys are real jerks. They really should get lives. He looked at me and said, hey, thanks. There was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that really showed gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and asked him where he lived. As it turned out, he lived near me, so I asked him why I'd never seen him before. He said he had gone to private school before now. I would never hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried his books. He turned out to be a pretty nice kid. I asked him if he wanted to play football on Saturday with me and my friends. He said yes. We hung out over the weekend. The more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. And my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with his huge stack of books again. I said, man, you're going to build some serious muscles with that pile of books every day. He just laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next couple of years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, we began to think about college. Kyle decided on Georgetown, and I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, that the miles would never be a problem. He was the valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare the speech for graduation. I didn't. I was glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than me, and all the girls liked him. Boy, sometimes I was a bit jealous. But today was one of those days. I could see that he was nervous about his speech, so I smacked him on the back and said, hey, you're going to be great. He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful ones, and smiled and said thanks. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began, graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years, your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. He said, I'm here to tell you, all of you, that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. I'm going to tell you a story. I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. He had planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later, and he was carrying all of his books and all of his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. He said, thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard the gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life for better or for worse. When I read that, I thought of this kid at Rockford Lutheran High School that took his life. Then I read this illustration of a young man who simply went and helped a kid carry his books home. Picked up his glasses. Showed a little kindness. Folks, what I'm here to say is this. You might get tired of soul winning. Join the club. But somebody out there needs to see kind Christians. It may be, I can't speak. You can slip them a track. You can knock on the door. You can take them a dessert. And they just might be going through the weak time, a low time in their life, but here you come. And I just show you a little kindness. they'll never forget it. This is biblical kindness. Am I saying we accept sin? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying as we deal with people, you never know what's going on behind their doors. And while we love to be the receivers of kindness, my challenge is, young people, all the way up, let this church just ooze with biblical kindness. And you know what? People may just want to keep on coming. But this is where the Lord got me, and I'm done. I like to be hard,
yeah, mean, and nasty, because that's just the way we do it.
You know, I found that it doesn't work so well. I find that I drive wedges between me and my own children. I want my kids, when they're 25, to want to come see me. Am I accepting their sin? But I'm going to show them a dad, Lord willing, with God's help, that's filled with God. And when he's filled with the Spirit, there'll be biblical kindness. I hope this helps. This is what we need. It's what I need. Would you pray? Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come and be a part of the service tonight. I pray that this would be a help. Sometimes I have in my mind things that I really need and that you deal with my heart about. And I pray that there may be someone here tonight, a young person, a mom, a dad, somebody that maybe has lost that zeal and even soul winning. We've lost the point of, well, I just don't want to go out anymore. Maybe just this would encourage them to start showing that kindness yet again. That's the ultimate kindness, is the gift of salvation. We died for our sins. I pray that we would follow our director tonight and just forgive and be kind. Use this, I ask, Pastor.